Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. A vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people that I knew on Facebook that I'd known in fact from high school were posting stuff that was wrong. And I corrected them, and they got pissed off because they were doing stuff on Facebook that they wanted to. And were upset that I was doing what I wanted to, which was correcting their dumbasses. Part of this is also to follow through with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination, disco or otherwise. I am your host. I am known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me under that name. That's my nickname. Some people get that joke. I was born into a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York, and am an unabashed atheist. We got a little bit of a difference in the roundup for tonight, so I'll bring this along as we go along. Starting from we'll start from over the border first. Good morning, heretic woman.
Sorry. you don't usually start with me, jeez.
Yeah, it's usually down, but you're our token Canadian tonight.
All right, then. Well, of course, I am a heretic woman. I am from Ontario, Canada. I was raised in the United Church of Canada, which is normally pretty liberal, but, I got stupid as a teenager and joined a Calvinist sect, which I really don't recommend. So since then, I figured out that it's all a bunch of horseshit, and I'm sorry, and been an atheist for 26 years now.
Don't worry, considering what I just did to Jake Verwoerden on his show last night, don't worry about it. A lot of it isn't going to make it to air. I just know that. Moving on to the Midwest here in the U.S., good morning, Bridget.
Hi, I'm Bridget Fitch. I was born and raised in the South, raised fundamentalist, and my family put the fun in the mental in fundamentalist. Now, I am kind of an activist against the harm that religious beliefs do, and here I am.
Moving to the south of me at this point, into Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Joey. Sorry, damn it. I spent the weekend. I'll explain about that in a minute. Go do it.
I'm not sure what's all good about it, but hi, everybody. My name's Joe. I was born to an Irish Catholic family in Chicago, Illinois. I spent 8 years in the military, and now I live in Pittsburgh as a graphic designer, a do-all-do-nothing, and a atheist, and apparently as the straight man of the group.
Great. Continuing to the east, to the shadow of Washington, D.C., which D.C. apparently stands for Duck Capital. Unrenowned Tech, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Unrenowned Tech. Live in Maryland. Was raised in a mixed religious background, so I got to see different viewpoints, studied others, practiced a couple, and I can tell you they're all full of crap. And I'm an atheist. Oh, and my son is officially Dungeons & Dragons player.
Excellent.
He just ordered his first minifig.
There you go.
Yeah.
Moving across the pond over into England. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Shujin. I'm Chris, currently based in Preston in the north of England. Was raised nominally Catholic, but it never really stuck. And I pretty much ignored the whole religion until maybe 4 years ago, where I started noticing the amount of nonsense in the world.
And moving south through the channel over into France, good morning, Joseph.
Hi, my name's Joseph. I'm originally from London, Ontario, Canada, and I moved here to France in 1989. And I'm a photographer. And I do other trades too, but what I do these days is promote, critical thinking, and I'd really like people to do things because they make sense and not because he said or she said.
And joining us for the first time tonight, which is kind of a special occasion for me because It's easy enough for us to get first-timers on here. I'm waiting to get our first repeat customer because I think they kind of get the idea. So welcome for the first time, Mr. Dave, a legend in his own mind, Foda. How are you, sir?
Yeah, okay. I probably deserve that.
Just a little bit. Good morning, sir.
I'm Dave Foda. I think anybody who follows anybody in the panel tonight at least knows my name. I am probably the world's biggest asshole atheist, and I have been introduced by at least one person to Hemant Mehta as Charlotte's resident anti-apologist. I was raised Lutheran, tried fundamentalism for a while, and then tried Thomas Paine for a while, and that's what stuck.
Well enough. Okay. Now, before we go ahead and get into the stuff, don't screw with me. Don't screw with the bits, guys. Dallin's going to be changing the audio when he gets the podcast feed out there. Dallin, I had nothing to do with that. It's your own.
Great.
So, really quickly, because of stuff going on behalf of everybody over here, want to really quickly single out. You said it was Beth, right?
Yes.
Okay, Beth. Hi, we see you. It's wonderful to see you. Just take care of yourself. You need to go rest. You go rest. Most important piece of all. Let's see. Who else is over in the question and answer system at the
Miss
moment?
Miss Ashley.
Yes, she is. Hi.
Hi, Ashley.
Hi.
We see Katie over there. And Courtney, thank you very much. A fellow Yinzer. I'm probably guessing that's some kind of sex device. I don't know anything about it.
Renee's over there, too.
It's figuring out. Anyway.
I think it involves electricity.
Steampunk. Anyway, let me go ahead and get us all going over here because we've got stuff to talk about that's basically brain numbing and melting stuff, and it's really not going to get any much better the longer we leave it. It's just going to fester. It's not going to ferment any much better. So, as usual, with apologies to Noah, Heath, and Lucinda, with 5 minutes on the clock, your 5 minute freestyle starts here. I'm taking inspiration as far as to titling it, as some people have already gone ahead and given me a little bit of grief for the current incarnation of the My Little Pony series. Why? Not because of the show, but because of the name. The secondary part of the name is Friendship is Magic. I have, as some people would remember, I have been a widower for 10 years, a little over. And I've had to deal with a lot of stuff over that intervening time, not the least of which is, of course, having to bring up our daughter. Tiny Tribble, as she has been come to know, has grown and blossomed into an incredible person. Not a young lady, but an incredible person. And she is the person that I spend the vast majority of my time with. So I don't really get to see, like others do, what she's turned into at each step. Because, I mean, you know, you watch a line that curves ever so slightly. You don't notice the curve until suddenly you're, you know, a long ways away. And all of a sudden, oh, that's where it started from. And that's where I am now. Well, check that out. So I actually asked a couple of people if I could name them by name. And I had a hard time, believe it or not, actually asking. Because I felt like I really shouldn't. It seemed like a silly thing to do. And then I got to realizing that there were a lot of people that I could have asked. Far more than I did. There's an artist who goes by the name Dutch. Wicked sense of humor. Great, great guy. And what an incredible smile he's got sitting at his desk doodling and coming up with weird, weird ideas. There is another artist who goes by the name Sir Fox, who I learned a couple of years ago is an immensely brilliant bioengineer, somebody who was instrumental in helping in developing freeze-dried platelets. Yeah, for those of you that know anything about it, you can't do that. He did. there is someone online who goes by the name Kalira, who is incredibly dear to my heart, who I could have said that I love her as an incredibly close friend. And then this past weekend at Anthrocon, there was Rin. Rin the dragon is love. She comes over for the last few years from, I forget if it was Norway, Sweden. I think it was Norway.
She's from the Netherlands or Holland.
Okay.
Holland. Yes, Holland. He speaks Dutch.
She's a Hollander?
She's wonderful. She is an adorable young lady. And I took a couple of minutes from doing one of the photo shoots, believe it or not, while she was in her costume, to teach her how to do a very simple box step. Ballroom dancing. And I taught her just a very simple thing. Even though she was like, I don't know how to do this. And while I was doing it, I finally, after 10 years, was able to physically say to someone other than the memory of my wife or my daughter, I love you. As a friend, I have people that I can actually say, I love. Physically actually say this now. I couldn't do that. I have friends. I have all of you here on the panel now who spend part of your time where you could otherwise be asleep, or better yet, drinking. But you choose to spend some of it with me, not necessarily always because it's topical stuff that you want to talk through. Sometimes it's just because it's me. And at the risk of sounding like I've got a cult of personality in my own damned head, thank you for being my friends. Each and every one of you has a dear place in me. And I always hope that you will always remember that. You've made a difference in me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are we quite done being mushy?
Are we quite done being mushy?
Because I'm pretty sure we came here to tear somebody apart, and I'd really like to get to that.
Well, before we do that, Michael, I want to thank you for that. That was a beautiful sentiment, and I think it bespeaks to, humanism itself. You know, when we sit there and we recognize we're all we've got.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's why part of the intro that I end up doing at this point kind of comes around to all this. So, Heretic Woman, you know what's coming. At this point, is Rafe Badawi currently in Canada?
No, he is not.
As of the recording of the show, it has now been 3 years, 1 month, 2 days since he was improperly incarcerated, and we are still hoping for your safe return here to Canada, and who knows, maybe even on with us briefly. And it's also become part of the way of doing it at this point. A quick hi to the five countries that have shown some interest in watching the show at this point. So to Kazakhstan. Oh God, I tried to pronounce it before, and let's see if I get it right. Don't do it to me, Joey. Salamitsiz be. And I know I'm screwing it all to hell, and I'm sorry. It's the best that I've got. I don't do Cyrillic. I don't understand.
You know what? It's close enough, and it's the sentiment that counts.
Thank you. To Norway, hallo. Slovenia, zdravo. I hope I got that right. Latvia, zveiki. And Bahamas, how do you pronounce that? Hello.
And to Latveria, doom!
Okay.
Let it be known, folks, that this is not a high classy show. We're all down to earth people.
Wait a minute. I figured out why you hold on. No. I thought that's why you asked me here to turn this into a classy show.
Speak for yourself.
Wear your class.
Ladies and gentlemen, please tune in for episode 73 where we talk about delusions.
You do realize that now has to be our topic for episode 73.
The fundamentals of Fodaism.
I think wait, everybody, I just made it more classy. I buttoned the first button on my shirt. There we go.
Oh, there you go.
I just upped the classy level.
Thank you very much. And of course, for all of you that are watching, if you've enjoyed us upping our class level, up yours too.
I knew there was a reason I kept this terrible thing, and now I finally get to use it.
Cheers. I don't know if you can see this or not.
We're going to do this. Where's my bowler hat?
There we go.
And apparently, Courtney over there has clarified the term yinzer. She was speaking to me, apparently. But, Courtney, bit of bad news. I've only been here for a few years. I'm here for school, and I'm not a native. So.
Well, you need to step it up.
There we go. I got my bowler hat.
Hun, are you really going to go ahead and make another up joke? Because, I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and break everybody again if I try to pull this again. Anyway, this is episode 72. We are going to be talking about Matt Slick and his website, more specifically about the website. Now, before we go on, a piece of order that I want to go ahead and take care of. Without naming names, and those of you that are quote-unquote guilty of this, don't even say anything about it. After the last episode, which was 2 weeks ago, there was some discussion about what about having Matt Slick actually on the show. And we discussed this a little bit. In all seriousness. We did discuss, I know, Dave.
But, didn't Dave already try to deal with him?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember listening to that. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy, as soon as he gets offended, he cuts his connection. What kind of wimp is that?
He ran away screaming like a little girl.
No, he gave up, is what he did.
He's that like, too.
He has this pattern of, as soon as he thinks he's being offended, he immediately makes sure everybody knows that he's offended. He makes sure everybody, he tries to make sure everybody feels bad about it. And if nobody believes, feels exactly the same way he does, he cuts his connection. That's just, yep. that's assholery.
Yeah, now that's part of the thing. Like I said, we did discuss the possibility, and I have no doubt that given the opportunity, if there is a platform that he could exploit, and that's the word I'm going to utilize, he would go ahead and do so because he's a media whore. I'm going to use that term because it's arguably the most accurate. If you want to try to figure out if I'm being correct about this, go look back through all of the stuff that he's done, all of the times he's called into Matt Dillahunty under assumed names and tried to push his own agenda. I have said that normally I will try to work with everybody with the show because as much as it's, yes, it's my show, it's all of us. But bottom line, this is my show. And I will absolutely, positively refuse entrance to someone, anyone, who is going to be dishonest. If you want to come on, you want to talk, you want to be honest about something, that's fine. You want to come on and be mistaken and learn, cool, I got no problem with that. But if somebody like Matt Slick is only going to be coming on just so that they could be completely dishonest and proselytize and preach, screw that noise. I almost said a bad,
but screw that noise is basically what it comes down to. So, like I said, we kind of discussed that, and we basically came down to a great even on this one, which is what we can do is take apart pieces of his website, which is carm.org, carm.org, and take a look at some of the stuff on the sidebar and basically try to figure out what do we want to rip apart ourselves, because as they said in Top Gun, this is a target-rich environment, to put it nicely. Now, Dave.
Yeah, well, I can support Dave here and say, hey, Dave, you know, looking through the site, I noticed the distinct lack of Harry Potter references.
Oh, they'll be coming up.
He knows well, exactly what I'm talking about. And if you haven't seen, if you haven't heard his show with it, you need to hear it.
Remember, and folks, Bill Robbins, if you're watching tonight, we're talking about that episode.
Yes.
Remember,
yes, because...
folks.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, remember, folks, we're a serious show.
Excuse me, I had something in my throat.
Yes. All right. So, Dave, I'm gonna open with you because you've got a little bit more history directly than we do, and I think probably to basically color how this is going to play out, why this would play out the way that it does, I might as well get you first because you're obviously drinking. Sooner or later, we're gonna go ahead and get you at the right time to get stuff up your nose. So, explain a little bit about Mr. the Slick and assuming that is his real name.
It's like his nemesis, Mr. the Slick.
Mr. the Slick. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because Donald Trump's birth certificate has been found. Turns out his real name is Fuckface Von Clownstick. You know, this just hit the wire today, so... but when it comes to Matt Slick, rather than go right into that episode, there was a, you know, I've got this to say about Matt Slick. Now, he doesn't have, as far as I know, he doesn't have any professional theological training, but I do know that he is a young earth creationist. He is definitely has some presuppositionalist ideas. So, but the thing about Max Slick that nobody really seems to understand is that before Christian apologetics was really a thing, Matt Slick was in the background doing this stuff since right around 2000. Now, there were apologetics ministries and everything that were going on before this time. But, you know, I got to give Matt Slick credit for one thing. He has been really dedicated to his cause, and he has really been pushing out as much material as he can because he really believes in it. I got to give him some credit for that and some respect. He's wrong on just about everything, but I'll give him some respect for his dedication.
His particular brand of apologetics wasn't in the foreground until recently, so they kind of dragged him forward.
That's entirely possible, but what he has done is he has really helped to cement the foundations of a lot of apologetics of various types. For instance, I never knew of the National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It happens to be the longest running apologetics conference of its kind. It's been running for over 20 years, and it's held right here in Charlotte. I never knew about it before, but I started going to it, and I've been going to it now for a couple of years. But I noticed that the speakers that they've been able to get in recent years have been above and beyond any of the expectations that they had in their first 15 years. And, you know, I got to admit, when I talk to Christians and young earth creationists and everybody else online or I'm involved in the debates or whatever, oftentimes they will present opinions from CARM.org. And for the viewers, CARM, C-A-R-M, stands for Creation Apologetics and Research Ministry.
It's, sorry, Dave, it's Christian Apologetics rather than the creation.
God damn it, Dave.
Yes, I'm really? Sorry, you're right.
Really, Dave? Really?
Yes, really.
Okay.
Get it together, so, Dave.
Fubart. But, it's Fubart. Cut the show. It's Fubart.
Sorry. So he has the privilege of being a talking points maker.
Well, yes, he does. Hmm. The problem is that what he does is he has a tendency to focus on only the language and not the psychology, the sociology, and the philosophy of the religious texts. I know that he uses, I know that when he's looking at, when he's writing his blog posts and his articles, I know that he's using Strong's Concordance. And I feel quite sure that he probably has an updated copy of Logos software that he uses in order to write his stuff. But that alone is not enough to come up with an internally consistent and cohesive position on any particular element of the Bible. And we can probably get into some of that later because he had a couple of recent posts on Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20 about homosexuality. In fact, he had two posts that were virtually identical, so why he did two separate posts, I'll never know. But we can get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, this for anybody that's taken the opportunity of looking through CARM at all, let's stop right there for a second. We've tried. I want everybody to understand this much. After I announced it 2 weeks ago that we were going to try to do this, we tried. And as we were getting everybody together, as we were assembling the Avengers over here on the show, we all said before we went live that we tried. Holy crap, did we try to actually go through some of this stuff. And it is mind-numbing how inane some of the stuff really is, and the same way that skeptics with a K will tell you don't go googling pictures for black salve, we're going to tell you be very, very careful going through CARM. If you are conscious individuals, and just the fire burn. Some people get that reference. You need to watch the movie Clue if you don't. It's just insane. All right, so we're gonna basically take a look at a couple of pieces, and it's just it hurts. It really does. And truthfully, we could just go ahead and just randomly pick from one side and just go, okay, this looks good, this looks good, this looks good, okay, hit this. If it was laid out in some kind of a system where we could actually get D&D dice, I'd do that instead, because just randomizing it would be fun.
Oh, dude, I've got whole sets. Anybody need to borrow some dice?
I need a 1d7. You got one of those?
Yes, I do.
You bastard. Fine.
There is a website that makes odd-numbered dice that will roll accurately and consistently every time. And they make a D7, a D13, a D11, a D19, a D21. Yeah, I've got them.
The D11 is only good if you're playing with fake bands from the 80s. Some people get that reference too. I'm not gonna say it. Thank you. All right. So let me fill you guys in really quickly on the one that the thing that I was looking at. I was mentioning about this before we went live. One of the things that I found was the question about what is a cult? There's a piece in there, and I'm not going to read it, and I'll explain why. I figured what is a cult would comprise maybe five sentences. Real simple. A cult, you would find a cult by looking for these things. Bold point, explanation, you know, five, six maybe. Oh no. No. This stretched for like 13 pages.
Exposition.
Oh, God. The funny part of it was, I'm looking at some of this stuff, and I'm like, this could be the Jehovah's Witnesses. This could be the Church of Scientology. Mm-hmm. This kind of qualifies as the Christians and the Jews and
the
Jedi.
Shijin, you may not have got through this far, but there is actually a very handy comparison chart in there.
I can pretty well guarantee I didn't, because I still have my brain in its solid form. I didn't go searching quite that far. So, for instance, what kind of stuff is actually part of this list? Which denominations of what BS crap are they comparing?
Oh, we've got Christian Science, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, Pentecostals, Unitarians, and a few others on there.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say Yinsitarians, and I'm thinking, great, were they freaking Pittsburghians? I'm sorry, Joe. I'm sorry.
Yeah, wow.
Okay, so Dave, let me hit you with one other question. Is this his thing, that it's just he goes after the Abrahamic religions and just says screw it all, and figures that's the end all be all, and that's all he's going to go ahead and argue about, as far as what you've seen so far?
Yes. I think that subconsciously he has a considerable amount of fear, and that probably has to do with the fact that he lives in Idaho.
potato.
You know, it's one of those things where fear of death is what drives religious belief, and I say that for very good anthropological reasons. The way that anthropologists have determined whether or not a group of people have a certain religious or spiritual belief is how they treat their dead. If you go back to ancient Sumer in Mesopotamia, they believed that you either disappeared, if you were good, you disappeared, or if you were bad, then you were forced forever to wander the earth. So, you know, they believed in ghosts, and they treated their dead accordingly, with burial rites and everything else, and the burial rites that they had certain symbols of hope attached to them. And I think that down through the ages, religion has been necessary for societies in order to be able to cope with the unknown. And I think that that has extended to Matt Slick and many other people who call themselves Christians, or even the ones that call themselves Muslims, Jews, whatever. But there's a certain element of fear there. They fear death. They fear being dead, whereas I don't fear being dead. I fear the possible ways of getting dead.
Now, let's see if I remember right. It was... I forget who the hell it was. Woody Allen, if I remember correctly, who said, I'm not afraid of death. I'm just afraid of being there when it happens.
I hadn't heard that, but I like it.
Yeah, but he's also the one that said, you know, don't knock masturbation. It's sex with someone I love.
Which, yeah, what's wrong with that? A problem.
Yeah, he said a lot of things. Some of which were actually heard outside of a high school. There's a thing that Beth said over here, which is something I wanted to specifically hit on. Beth is saying, quote, he is anti-Catholic. To him, Catholicism is a cult. And by the way, as I usually do, fair warning, I did add punctuation in the way that I said it, just to make it more clear. I do try to read all of the questions from the question and answer system as stated, or as close to that as possible so that I don't taint it with the way that I think of it. So please forgive me for adding punctuation to make it so. He is anti-Catholic. To him, Catholicism is a cult. Now, this is very accurate because I did see a YouTube vid where he had a debate with a Catholic, I believe a Catholic apologist, where it, loosely translated, he basically said, "You guys don't have a clue." And the Catholic is like, yeah, we kind of have held the banner for the last, oh, how long's he been dead now? Yeah, 2,000 years. We've got the history, so you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Yeah, so we're kind of it. Here's my flag. I've got a flag, so I get to claim this land in the name of Jeebus and all that stuff.
Well, whatever cult Slick is following, it's a derivation of their cult, so.
Yeah, and it's amazing, though, to listen to both of these guys going back and forth and back and forth, and it's like, did you actually study this whole thing? Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, I've got this piece of paper on the wall over here. If you're looking on the video, you can see. All right, that's, yeah, we need to hit that one really fast, and then we'll go into the website.
Did they get that from the same place that Kent Hovind got his doctorate from? Patriot University, which is a trailer out in Colorado.
Dr. Sky Daddy.
If you want to have a, I guess you could call it a good time, read Hovind's quote doctoral thesis.
You know the burning question is, what color crayon did he use to write it?
I know.
I don't know. Horrible. Should it be the only thesis that starts with "My name is Kent Hovind"?
I guess it requires lots of adult beverages to get through.
He wasn't quite sure he'd get the mark for putting his name at the top of the page, so he put it in the first paragraph for good measure.
So now wait a second. Now, to be fair, if we're going to put credit where credit is due, this then means that he was a trendsetter for, I don't know, what the hell was his name? Eminem? I mean, he had that song that started off with "Hi, my name is," and I figured maybe it's his inspiration. It got him a gold album. I mean, what the hell?
We're going to go over it. Please stand up. Sit back down. We heard your shit.
Yeah. So
I think that was supposed to be spelled Hyman Aim Is.
That's a flashback to Bobby C. and Ashley. Oh,
great.
The backward basket.
That's great. So we're talking about a bust through hit. I appreciate that. All right. So we're gonna as far as Matt Slick having a degree, he will flaunt. You know what? Screw it. If you don't want to hear this word, I'm sorry. He will flaunt that shit any opportunity he can. And forgive me, I know that we try to stick with a PG-13. We're doing okay at the moment, right? At the moment, but he will flog that every opportunity he can in your face. So, last direct question for you on this one, Mr. Foda, would you kindly... Do you have any clue, after all of this stuff that's going on, why the hell hasn't he put out his own translation of the Bible, since he is such a master of the work? Why do you think that might be?
He hasn't got the crowdfunding yet? I mean, honestly, who knows?
He's too busy dodging questions about Harry Potter.
They keep coming as pop-ups on his screen while he's trying to write in Word.
That's it.
I can see Clippy popping up going, "Hey, I see you're trying to write Christian apologetics. Would you like me to throw in a couple of thou arts for you?"
Yeah. The guy can't even use like English words like correctly in the like the same context more than twice in a row. So like, how the fuck is he gonna do with ancient Hebrew?
But that's on purpose, though. He does that on purpose to try and confuse the person he's talking to, and move the goalpost.
Well, the Bible is great the way it is because it's confusing enough. Contradictions. He doesn't want to change.
The Bible is the most magnificent book in the world for creating atheists.
Yeah.
As Isaac Asimov said, properly read, the Bible is the most potent force for atheism ever conceived.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
One thing that I do want to point out here real quick is that there's a lot of people out there who will say, well, I don't, you know, when they talk about Christian apologists having PhDs or master's divinity or whatever, they go, I don't respect that degree, so I'm not going to call them doctor. I'm not going to call William Lane Craig Dr. Craig. I disagree with that position because a doctorate is an advanced degree in a particular discipline. It doesn't matter that the discipline is total bullshit. The fact that they have the degree, the advanced degree in a discipline, I think gives them the right to be referred to as doctor. So I do.
Doesn't that denigrate the appeal to authority the doctor has? I mean,
not when you consider the discipline.
But that's what they're aiming for. They want that appeal to authority, and you know, like you say, if their university was a trailer park somewhere.
Yeah, if it's not accredited, what does that do, Dave?
Well, if it's not accredited and that's the only doctorate that you accept, then that is an appeal to authority.
And you can be a doctor and still be wrong. I don't know why people...
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Absolutely.
So that brings me up to the first page that I wanted to briefly touch on. Because, but surprisingly enough, it actually has good information to a certain point.
Where did you find that?
The contact us. It actually has correct links to contact them. Oh, and the donate button. It actually leads to a donation page. So, yeah, there's your accurate.
Probably thinking the website that works.
I will give them credit. They didn't use it. They didn't make it using GeoCities.
Or Angel Fire, that's true. Those of you that remember what Angel Fire is, you know what?
Oh, yes.
People.
Angel Fire is still around.
Yeah, it's still causing seizures. Why is my screen blinking?
Is he on the phone?
No, he's our screen. Fire. Fine.
Yeah, that's right. Those of you who used Notepad and used the hashtag, used the bracket blink tag. First off, screw you guys. Really, really.
Continue to use that. Screw need to guys. Be taken outside and shot.
Lime green should never ever be used again.
Uh-huh. Or fuchsia. Nothing like watching fuchsia text on a fuchsia.
Oh no, my favorite was the websites that had things like raining or snowing down the page.
At the time, that was cutting edge. I mean, come on.
And you know what? As a graphic designer, I'm crying inside.
Dave, there was also a time where cutting edge on a website was also so don't even
get the song stuck in my head.
And
that's why I've got one of my playlists on right now, so I can't hear this shit.
Got this feeling.
It might have been cutting edge at the time, but that doesn't mean it wasn't bloody awful. especially
1,000 years ago.
Especially the websites that had the little sparkles follow your cursor around the page. Oh yeah.
You know what? I wonder what would have happened if Noah had done crowdfunding on a GeoCities website to build his ark.
Ooh.
Fund your own.
Wait. Funny thing. What happened at 10 a.m.?
Yeah.
Nothing got done.
We'll have to see. Okay, so
you gotta give at least Noah credit. At least he built the damn boat.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Without maybe. Government funding.
So, the page in particular that I found. Yes, I'm gonna crush on this sooner or later. The page in particular that I'm I found information that actually made sense. Says, what is the scientific method? Now, generally speaking, we kind of understand what that is for the most part. And the information that I've got on this webpage pretty well actually has it right. Goes on to, I'm not going to read it verbatim, but it does go on to say what the five levels of it all are, sort of. The first stage is observation, a perception, viewing of a phenomena. Okay, I can get behind that so far. Two, hypothesis. Okay, first off, gold star for getting the right word and the right explanation for it. A proposed explanation developed to account for what has been observed. I'm adding the word for in there because it's poorly written that way. Three, experimentation. Tests are developed to validate or invalidate the hypothesis. Okay, so far so good. Prediction. After tests and validation of the hypothesis, hold on a second, because now I'm kind of losing you here, because, wait a minute. After tests and validation of the hypothesis, predictions are made based upon the evidence gathered in experimentation.
Isn't the prediction a hypothesis itself?
Well, sort of. These two items should be flipped. You should have a prediction of what you would expect to have happen, create an experiment to find out what does happen, and thereby validate or invalidate what your hypothesis is supposed to be. The final stage on this is theory. A theory is based upon a hypothesis verified by testing and is generally accepted as being an accurate explanation of phenomena.
Hold on.
Yep. Go ahead.
Let me say this right now. He's got five steps here. You are right. There should only be four, but prediction is a part of a hypothesis. The experiment is what the hypothesis is about, and the hypothesis includes an implied prediction. So what he should have is observation, hypothesis, including prediction, experimentation, and then conclusion, not theory. because you're not talking about a theory is a collection of a body of scientific laws and facts, not a single scientific conclusion on its own.
Yep.
I mean, we need to make sure that we're using them correctly, and he's not doing that here.
And that generally accepted is annoying.
Yes.
The best answer we have, you know.
Yeah. Now, the thing of it is, like I said, it's for the most part okay, but it's already inserting wiggle room that shouldn't be there.
Yeah. And he's not mentioning peer review either.
Right.
That the results are available, open to testing by anybody.
The experiment, regardless of the results, your peers should be able to set up the same experiment that you do, assuming that they have the same amount of funding and the same access to resources. So, like, if you're using a tunneling electron microscope, your peers who have access to a tunneling electron microscope should also be able to do the same exact tests.
Right, but at that time, they are using the scientific method independent of your use of the scientific method. The peer review is only a tangent to the method itself.
But it's central to the...
Peer review is central to science. It is not central to the scientific method.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does that make sense?
But when we're talking about the word theory, that's when the peer reviewing part comes into play.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he threw theory into the works.
And that's why I said that he should have used the word conclusion instead of theory.
I'm agreeing with you. I think what Joe was trying to point out, though, with the whole peer review thing, was the fact that if you're going to start throwing theory into it, you've got to add all the other stuff that goes along with that, like peer review.
Yes, and, that is absolutely true.
And this is exactly why I smoke and drink.
Okay. So the remainder of this particular article, I'm going to read verbatim because I want you guys to hear this because, like I was saying, there's wiggle room that's already inserted into these first five stages, which is I'm not liking, but like I said, it's mostly okay, kind of like mostly dead, only you know cheap.
Please, Daddy, please don't do it. I promise I won't do it again.
That's why you cover the pill in chocolate.
That's right. All right, so it concludes with this. So, with the scientific method, people attempt to understand something sufficiently to reproduce an event and or accurately predict an event. Okay, hold on. Final piece of it says, the exact order of the steps is fluid. I'm going to pause right there because there's a comma.
Yes, there's a comma, but no, they're not fluid.
Fluidity to the scientific method, unless you're testing fluids.
Right. now the exact order of the steps is fluid. Well, I will give guarded acceptance on this only because you can slide back and forth between two pieces that are adjacent to each other to fine-tune. I can see that. You could make it more as an argument of you need to really go back to the beginning of it all. I've seen that flowchart, and I'm on board with that too, but like I said, there's this weird wiggle room that's put into here. Let me finish it off.
Were you there?
And added confusion.
Yes. Okay. The exact order of the steps is fluid. But generally, the scientific method is the process used to understand phenomena through developing a hypothesis, experimentation, and learning so that we are able to predict the phenomena again. This means the phenomena is understood. And I'm going to be the first one to put up a big old billboard right behind me over here on a green screen. Dallin, go ahead and do that with the audio right now.
Bullshit!
Just because we've got all this body of information and we can predict and we can accurately tell you exactly how much pull, exactly how much extra velocity New Horizons will have when it flies by Jupiter, we still don't have a proper understanding of what the hell gravity actually is. We got some great predictive models, but we can't find for you a little minuscule graviton yet, unless you're, of course, you know, at a fairground, in which case the graviton. Wow, that's
found a pentacork.
Okay, there's no way that I can try and get into that.
Well, tonight. Allow me. You see, we may not know exactly what gravity is, but we have a pretty good idea because we have all the examples the universe wishes to provide with how the hell it works and how it affects the space and time and wibbly wobbly. Damn it, I screwed it up. Oh, right.
Gravity sucks.
But anyway, we see the effects.
Wibbly wobbly timey
wimey. Yes, there we go.
But the point is, I like to kind of turn around an apologist argument. Gravity works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
They don't like that answer because that's not good answer.
Well, the truth of it is, it actually kind of does.
Well, yes, I saw that movie. It really, really does. For instance, never mind.
If you're gonna go ahead and conflate New Horizons by Uranus and comment to the black hole, so help me, I'm gonna hurt somebody.
No, I was just going to.
Why didn't you say Uranus? It's Uranus. Come on!
Listen, you know scientists are gonna—you know scientists are gonna get so tired of that joke, they're just gonna rename the planet Eurectum.
Yeah. No, that's after we crash the first probe.
Okay, from Eurectum
to right into Uranus.
We programmed
a Futurama joke. Okay.
We were landing
in feet, but I programmed it in meters.
And just to milk this joke for everything that it's worth, as soon as they go ahead and they push through that name change, that'll be just perfectly fine. Thanks so much. Wow, now I know what Jake feels like when he does his opening and it completely falls flat on his face.
Yeah, damn. Remember, folks, we are serious adults here.
Yes, we are. See, Dave, is this everything that you thought it was going to be when you signed up for this crap?
I thought I was dragged kicking and screaming into this. I don't remember signing anything.
We just well, if you look under your contract, under paragraph...
Look at, yeah, we'll see about getting you that check later also. All right, so the point of it is... This is a perfect example of the kind of stuff that Matt Slick does, and especially does live. He will give you enough information that's right that you lower your defenses. And you think, well, you know what? So far, he's right. Mostly, okay, he's right enough. And that's when all of a sudden... As somebody best put it to me, and I can use it here, the defecation hits the ventilation.
He likes the Trojan horse.
Yeah. Basically, yeah, that's probably the best way of putting it. There's just enough information to sucker you into thinking that it's good enough, it's right enough, it's close enough. And it's those little bits and pieces of wiggle room that start to add up really, really, really fast. And the worst part about it is, as much as I was joking about my brain melting from trying to read through this stuff, truth be told, the pieces that I did go looking through, this was arguably the best as far as overall accuracy. And it's not entirely. The scientific method is something that's been laid out easily since ancient Greece. I mean, hell, they figured out that the Earth was spherical. Maybe not necessarily an oblate spheroid, whatever the hell it is. You know what, Mr. Tyson, Dr. Tyson, you're coming on next week to explain to us how the hell we're supposed to pronounce that goddamn word.
You can't afford him.
It's spheroid.
Spheroid, sure.
Oblong spheroid.
That's a... double, but anyways.
Yeah. I can join you on the same thing. I'd agree with that. This is a fairly good sort of lay definition of the method that you could go with on there. But reading the other articles, I know what exactly you're saying about the brain melting, because there were some of them, even though it was painful, I had to go through a couple of times because... and work out, because I thought, I'm reading through it casually, and I thought, okay, that's not perfect. There's a, you know, that could be better phrased. And the next thing I know, like, he's used it to go off on, like, the wiggle room to go off on five tangents on there and turn the thing into something, like, truly horrible. And it's then you backtrack and you think, like, where the hell did he get that from?
But it's...
And this is where I would actually like question something that Dave said right at the beginning of the show on whether or not Matt Slick truly believes this, because I don't know if you can actually believe this kind of thing and spend so much time and deliberate effort creating these sort of houses of cards without knowing what you're doing.
Can I just change the context a bit? Because, I mean, him doing this, it's win-win for him, because the entire point of this site seems to be, you know, he's got a list of rules that he wants people to follow, and he wants people to follow him. So when
you mean like the rule about not comparing his god to Harry Potter.
Yeah, whatever. So when he creates confusion like this, you know, he's making himself the center of the issue, because this has to be discussed with him. You know, there's just enough truth there to pull you in, and your discussion with him he's going to be the center of all discussion. And for me, that's almost the entire point of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really likes to listen to the sound of his own voice, I've noticed.
I can't say anything because I do that every week on a weekend instead of going to sleep.
And getting some sleep on a Sunday. But the couple of times I've watched him on the Bible Thumping Wingnut, he, you know, they use their manipulation to annoy or vex whatever person they're talking to. And when that person inevitably gets annoyed to the point that they bugger off, then the two of them sit around and have a big circle jerk and pat themselves on the back for half an hour about how wonderful they are at debating and the other person just wasn't up to snuff and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, they were completely dishonest the entire time.
And it's win-win for them because the longer we discuss with them, the more credibility we give them.
To a certain degree, there is that. But at the same time...
But that's central to their argument. Their own credibility. They want themselves to be more trustworthy than we are. Or than thinking people are. Because they want to be followed.
Yeah, and that's why... whenever I'm looking at things like this, I try and highlight the deliberate dishonesty of it in that you can't get things this wrong in that way without trying. On there, if you genuinely were, you know, lacked an understanding of the subject or were ignorant of the matter.
Even a child...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even a child would not put it in this way, and it's the manipulation of the language and of misrepresenting of facts and whatever. It's all very deliberately constructed, and to do it to that degree, it strains credulity to think that someone that the author does not know exactly what they are doing. In an attempt to manipulate other people.
It's almost genius in a way, because he just puts it like Shujin said, he puts just enough truth in there he can use one half of an argument against another. He can make you confuse yourself, actually, by trying to discuss this with him.
It's so crazy, it just might work.
Exactly. And there's something to be said for that, very specifically. I'm there's a piece of this that's caught up in my head, and I'm trying to remember how to pull it out and tease it out for everybody. By the way, those of you that are watching live, I didn't mention it. If you've been noticing that stuff in the question and answer system has suddenly disappeared. Yes, I've been trimming some of the social stuff out that's been there for a little bit. Nothing personal. It's just I'm looking for actual questions to go along with. So, you know, please, by all means, feel free to help yourself on this.
Trolls.
that too. All right. So here's a thing. Considering that we've all had the opportunity of either dealing with Mr. Slick himself directly, as Dave has, or for us trying to read through parts of what Karm says, and saying trying to read through is not that was tough. I was the one who suggested it, and even me, I'm looking it through, and I'm just like, God, I now know what it was like when the guys on Scathing Atheist finally just look over at Lucinda and it was just like, really, you made us read this goddamn book. This is your fault. You know that, right? By the way,
go ahead.
So we've had an opportunity of trying to get through bits and pieces of this. What Joseph was just saying about, you would think that, so, and Chris, somebody should, with the level of knowledge that he supposedly has and the experience that Slick has had over and over and over and over again, can anybody give me anything that seems to be a reason whether it's a good or a bad reason, other than dishonesty, as to why he would keep clinging to the same crap arguments over and over and over again, even though they've been shown to be A, BS, B, malformed questions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I can answer that.
They work.
I got a quick one. I got a quick one on this, very quick.
Joey?
You see, I've got this book.
You may have the book, but were you there?
There.
Did I say it right?
Wrong person.
Were you there?
Yeah, but if there's one thing we've learned
from the movies, if Wolverine could be who only knows how many decades older than Professor Xavier, then the Amish Wolverine version can't be any much younger. Fine, we got the reference in. Dave, go ahead.
Well, everybody knows that if we continue to do things the way we have always done them, we will continue to get the results we've always gotten. Everybody knows that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the flip side to that is work harder, not smarter. And that's what most Christian apologists do. They're working harder. They're not working smarter.
I think
the same is true. Isn't that the Scott Walker method?
No. Because you just implied that Scott Walker actually works.
No. I'm talking about the method he talks about.
Oh.
If I can jump in here quickly. Dave, I know it's your first time, so I hate to pull you up on this. Where you said, like, if you keep doing the same thing you've always done, you'll get the same results.
Mm-hmm.
That's only true if the situation's the same.
Well,
if you keep doing the same thing, the implication is there.
Environmental variables change constantly.
Right, but when it comes to Christian apologetics, what they're trying to do is get a specific message out and have people believe it. So, you know, that part of it is still the same every time.
Well, to defend him, though, we'll have to say this. If you repeat a thing often enough, people do start buying it. Mm-hmm. And that was one thing that I noticed from his website is he would take a point and just keep repeating verbatim the same point over and over again.
Ladies, I have a 12-inch Johnson.
You have to keep saying that, though. Over and over again.
Yeah, but that difference, you know, for his audience, they're not willing to check.
But here aren't we getting into the whole thing about confirmation bias?
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's fair to talk about that.
Yeah, because he's repeating this because it works for his audience. I mean, it works. Otherwise, he would change. And you can see that if you followed his quote-unquote debates, you know, they've evolved. He's dropped talking points that effectively aren't working anymore with atheists.
Joseph? He's just a Bible study with a non-believer.
You know what,
no,
Joseph?
That's Satan.
Well, hold on.
Oh, wait, yeah.
I'm glad somebody brought up Satan here because I think Joseph just brought up an important point that he drops particular talking points that aren't working with atheists. Here's the thing, and this is something that I have harped on for probably two and a half years now. People say, well, what good is there in debating creationists, or what good is there in debating fundamentalist Christians? The good is in the audience that is watching. They're the ones who can be influenced. I don't care jack shit about my opponent in a debate. I know I'm not going to be able to change his mind. But there are people out there who are watching and listening who can be influenced. Those are the people that I'm going after. And that's the same understanding that Matt Slick has about it when he's dropping particular talking points that aren't working. He is going after the audience, same as me. And, you know, when we bring Cy Ten Bruggencate into the mix, Cy Ten Bruggencate's best
Powell used to be Timothy Brindle, who's the Bible thumping wingnut. Well, now Matt Slick is a regular on Timothy Brindle's show, and apparently Brindle and Brogan Kate had a falling out. I'm not real clear on the circumstances of that, but the fact
one of them is, saw reason.
No, that's not true.
One could hope.
But the fact is, they are talking to a particular audience with a particular confirmation bias. Mm. I am talking to a particular audience with a particular confirmation bias. My idea is that I need to be talking to the opponents in an open forum. Mm-hmm. Because that's where we make the difference.
The difference is between... Because that's a good point for the audience, because he's talking to his audience and he knows what works for them. It's like two different debates, almost, because like an apologetic and an atheist can be watching the same debate and seeing two different things.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's playing to his audience on an emotional level. Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't really like that. Confirmation bias, because the central, like for somebody who thinks rationally, the facts should speak for themselves. So they're not really thinking about the audience when they're debating.
Yes,
they're thinking about the facts. Well, most, you know, when you're trying to make a logical argument, you want the argument to speak for itself. But that's apologetics don't do this. They work on the emotional appeal that their argument is going to have. Do I confuse the opponent? Do I...
I agree with you, Joseph. I agree with you, Joseph. But here again, you're working from our side, not their side. And they think that we are not working from a logical standpoint, that they are the ones with the logical standpoint. So ask yourself this. Ask yourself this. Who is the target audience? Who is the demographic, the group of people who can be most influenced by talking about these two sides?
Well, let me back up something to kind of go with this, because there's a piece about the emotional attachment that I also found another piece of that had to do with the scientific pieces also. One of the other pages that I was looking through, again, it was a little dangerous. I had to use blast goggles on this one.
You use blast goggles? I stuck with a welding helmet. With a number three lens.
It's close enough. But this one was titled, "Has Science Disproven Christianity?" Now, before we go any much further...
Oh, God, I hate that fucking title.
Ugh. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. go ahead.
Considering religion. I mean, it's not even in their mind.
Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead. Why is the question, has science disproven Christianity, bunk? I'm going to use that word because otherwise we're just going to completely blow the PG-13.
Okay. I think it's a little late for that.
I don't care. I'm trying.
You know what?
I'm going to turn off my camera. I'm going to make obscene gestures.
I'm going to bend to the will of the host here, and I'm going to try to keep my language clean. Not that I'm really known for doing that, but...
maybe if you pray to God, he'll help you.
the problem with the title is science can't disprove Christianity. It can't prove Christianity false. Why? Because Christianity is a religion. It is a body of ideas. You can't prove a body and practices of ideas false. The proper question is, has science disproven God's existence? And I think Victor Stenger did an excellent piece on this in, God and the Folly of Faith. In fact, and I'm going to call out a good friend here, David Mills, who wrote Atheist Universe, a book that I highly recommend for any atheist to have on their shelf. Both of them are of the opinion, and I am too, science doesn't go far enough when talking about the possibility of a God. The simple fact of the matter is, Newton's laws of motion and the laws of thermodynamics, we're talking about laws here. laws aren't broken. We can modify theories. We can change hypotheses. But laws and scientific facts don't change. And if God were to exist, or if let's not even talk about whether or not God exists. If God were to have any influence at all over the natural realm, which is the only realm that we exist in and the only realm that we can acknowledge, then those laws and those facts should be at least bendable. If not, they could be broken entirely. But we know from observation and conclusion that they can't.
Or minimally that they haven't. And I think that's where the big piece is for me. To the way that I've understood it and
But if they haven't instead of they can't, then we are only looking at past experience, and we have to acknowledge that they can't necessarily be laws or facts.
I think one of the issues, and I've seen this come up in other areas, is on some of these issues, you're right, that science may not, or scientists may not state the case definitively enough or strongly enough.
The question I want to ask is, does science
One is that scientists write and speak in sort of very cautious languages. They tend to be fairly adverse to giving a definite 100%. They'll say, like, the evidence available so far supports, like, this interpretation or whatever. And they'll always, like, you know, or almost always look, and we'd like, you know, further data would be, you know, great, or we'd need further research, and all the rest of it. And this is a part of sort of scientific sort of culture and understanding, because there is always more to learn out there.
Chris, I absolutely agree with everything you said.
On some of these issues, though, the common... what it all boils down to in plain language is, there is absolutely no way in hell.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Oh, yeah, you've got the book.
I do.
Yes, that's an awesome book. I love it. I freaking love it. Chris, I absolutely agree with you. The issue is that... And this is the pinned tweet that I have on my Twitter page. Absence of evidence does not necessarily indicate evidence of absence, except when the evidence should be there but isn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and we can go for that. Now, let me finish off a piece of what I was getting at. All good stuff that we got over here, by the way. So no worries on there. Going back to the page that I was just referring to, you remember how I was talking about how there's just enough that's right and just a little bit that's wrong that you're kind of willing to gloss over it? The first paragraph kind of does that. It's kind of a rehash of the page I was talking about before, you know, what's the scientific method. So we'll save that for another time, probably right after hell burns itself out. But the beginning of the next paragraph that's on here really bugs me to no end. And we'll see who wants to grab on this one. Bridget, I'm hoping to get you in a little bit, because, you know, you're not pulling your weight tonight.
Let me talk.
Oh, that's my fault.
Hold on. Wait. She was in my hotel room at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and she's not pulling her weight here. Come on.
Whoa.
Okay. I have to stop the show for just a moment, because I do have to maintain a case of plausible deniability.
I was there Joey. I was there
Let's not comment.
Perfect woman, that is not helping.
I am doing the best I can to be press secretary right now.
You were taking notes?
pictures or it didn't have
pictures? No, I wasn't quite taking it.
No, guys, she was taking dictation.
No, both of them were fondling my gun.
Yes, actually, we were.
Toby Ziegler, help me.
Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope.
You know, by the you know what, Chris, I have to tell you, considering that we are basically the degenerate version of your home country currently, I'm sorry that you guys don't have guns anymore, I guess, in this particular instance, because you'll never understand quite how it would feel, I guess.
Well, why do you think I was fondling it?
Me too.
Right. Zhijin, that's a topic for another episode, I think.
Yes,
that's what was so sad.
Yeah,
I've got far too much to say on that one.
I'm going to say I'm a terrible person.
I have a little message from Beth. Dave.
No doubt.
No, well, not about this, actually. She says that, Dave, you should talk about the pigeon in the box example or the second law example.
What does that have to do with the hotel room?
I don't know.
Or a gun.
I mean, if pigeon is a euphemism for girl in England and box, I don't think that we really need
a small hotel room.
I actually know what she's referring to. She's actually talking about proving a negative. But I think we probably need to get back on track with Matt Slick before I can even go down that road.
Okay, so let me finish this piece really, because where Joe is all gone. Joey, are you okay over there? We just laughed Joey under the table. That's fine. We'll
come back. Are bad things.
Okay, so the second paragraph on here, like I said, opens with this: the best way to prove that Christianity is false is to find the body of Christ. That's first sentence. Second one: in Christianity, if the resurrection of Jesus is not true, then Christianity is proven to be false. I'm going to stop it right there, because the rest of it at that point doesn't matter. Because this is, as the expression goes, taking into account facts, not evidence, in the premise, I believe is the right explanation for it.
Yep, it is. It is absolutely the right way to word it. The simple fact of the matter is, when you talk about the best way to prove Christianity false is to find the body of Christ, well, Christianity hasn't proven that there was a Christ. At best, what we can figure is that it was an amalgamation of characters, apocalyptic preachers, roaming the Judean countryside in first century Palestine. But that's the best you can come up with.
And I'd like to argue that Christianity counts on him not being found. It's just, the ambiguity.
Yes. Yeah.
And given the number of people that the Romans nailed to trees and other parts of the scenery at that time, how would you definitely...
The outhouse.
And you have no eyewitness accounts, as Dave sort of touched on there. If you found a body, how the hell would you tell it is, JC?
Yeah, it's not like they have DNA of the guy or something.
Hold on. There is a way to test it.
Okay.
Revive the body and ask it if it is descended from Joseph's line or from Mary's line.
Okay.
Or you could ask for its ID, and if it's Gallifreyan, you've got another answer to deal with.
Yeah.
And if they're over 18,
wait a minute. You bring them back, and then you take the Shroud of Turin, and you compare faces and see if they match.
No.
Wait, because you're going to get this. You're going to get very similar faces there. What you have to do is compare arm lengths.
because true Jesus is going to have one arm that's nearly a foot longer than the other one.
Explain. I don't get that. Explain.
The Shroud of Turin.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, do you remember how I said that I go to apologetics conferences?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gary Habermas is one that shows up at nearly every single goddamn one of them. And he is supposedly on an expert on the Shroud of Turin. Now, what Gary ignores is the fact that the Shroud is obviously a 14th century forgery.
Yes.
And we know that because of its ink. But what's worse, and what is wildly worse, is the fact that the artist of the Shroud of Turin, first off, put Jesus' hand in front of his nuts, and secondly, which in the first century they would not have done, and secondly, if you look at the measurements of the arms, one of them is a foot longer than the other one.
The one on his nuts is the longer one. That would explain a lot.
He supposedly was never married.
Right.
That doesn't mean it was longer.
He had 12 guys to entertain, so, you know.
You know, Joseph, I've never had to pistol... Well, okay, never mind. I haven't had to pistol whip anybody recently, but...
You're giving serious consideration to changing that streak now, aren't you?
Well, that's the problem is, you know, the moment I show up about 50 miles from the French border, I'm going to, you know, pretty much have the country surrendered to me anyway, so... I'm sorry.
I'll be enjoying myself.
Hey Joseph, you did notice that he didn't have a clip in that pistol, right?
Yeah, well, the pistol whipping...
I beg your pardon. A what?
A clip.
You didn't have a magazine in that pistol.
Thank you very much.
Dave, you have to forgive him. He's a raisin asshole besides me.
You know how hard it is to get a Penthouse in there?
Look, I got nothing.
We're not going to get into the differences between a clip and a magazine. That's for another show that we already did. So, moving on.
Yeah, because clips, you know, movies, it's a little more evolved.
Just be careful not to cut the hair too hard.
You know what? I got nothing.
You know what? You fuckers have just ran out my playlist. I gotta start one again. God damn.
You know what? Screw this quiz. Jake, listen, I'm so, all those times I gave you shit on your show, I understand now. I'm sorry. I will be repentant. I will be a very nice boy from now on. I promise you. I will be very, very gentle. And I won't go ahead and make reference to the fact that it's actually Nick's show. I won't talk about that anymore. I promise. And I'll make sure that you get all the drugs that you need because you probably need them anyway. I'll start by sending you over wine, because wine.
That's not a drug.
No, that's the elixir of life, isn't it?
I had nothing to do with it. I'm just here.
Alcohol may be part of the problem, but it is also a solution.
Well, so is water, but I would much rather be drinking the wine. Thank you very kindly.
You don't want me to drink water on camera right now.
Oh, yes, I do.
No.
Can we maybe... I hate to use a two-ism, but, you know, white yes. Queen, moving on.
So,
Bridget wasn't here last time for why you guys don't want me drinking water on camera right now, but we'll let her in on that later.
We'll do that because we gotta see about getting this wrapped because we're about a little over 90 minutes and we have a bad habit of running past the 2-hour mark if I don't start wrapping us about now. This so let's deal with this. Yeah,
I was gonna say, since Beth had popped in a thing on there like asking about going on. About the religious attack on homosexuality, there was quite a few interesting points there on the Calm site, and some brilliant examples of the wordplay and the horrible abuse of logic and reason.
Do you have a link?
I'll see if I can put one in.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, to be fair, there is stuff that I glanced over. I didn't go very far into it because I was trying to read stuff that I could actually digest. And I'm not being cute about it. It is really, I mean, collectively, we can all tell you. I mean, you guys will agree with me. It was a pain in the ass to try and digest some of the stuff that we read through.
I will throw you some links. Hold on.
Okay, and... yeah, minimally, I'll make sure that whatever links that we end up sharing for ourselves, I'll make sure that they end up in the show notes and on the podcast notes also, and that'll be something Dallin will help us out with also on that. But trying to go through it has just been a bear, and looking and seeing some of the stuff. Never mind the homosexuality, but the whole "you're not part of my group" dynamic is just. Turned up to like 11.
Oh, so what's the persecution?
I'm looking at condemning homosexuality as practicing discrimination, and this is wrong. His answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
Discrimination is not necessarily bad. That's how it's.
Oh, right. Lovely.
Yeah.
Unless of course you're discriminating against a Christian, and then it's persecution.
Yeah.
Or oppression.
Oppression, yes. Yes.
Well, that's only if you're dealing with, you know...
This is also one of those guys who's operating out way out into the far left field. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about just way out there. Because, you know, he's one of those who believes through his previous statements, when you put them all together, is that people who say that they don't believe in the Bible are just... fooling themselves, that they automatically know in some deep intelligent, you know, deep hidden nugget inside their body, maybe like in the subcochle area, that they know the Bible to be truth and they know that Jesus Christ is real and that Jesus Christ is a savior and everything. It's like, dude, I'm sorry, but if you're telling me that
there is no God,
I'm sorry, I don't believe. And if you're telling me that I'm lying to myself. Okay, want to start talking about stuff that's getting offensive? How about that? You know, you're telling me that, no, I'm lying to myself, that I don't know what I'm talking about, that I'm full of it. It's like,
He's no, telling you that he knows better than you.
Yeah. You don't know me.
Yeah. You don't know yourself. Doubt your senses. Doubt yourself. Obey me. Follow me. That's what his entire website says to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what we really need to wrap on for this whole damn thing is with the stuff that we've seen, with the stuff that we've talked about, and having listened to, maybe even interacted with, Matt Slick's, I don't want to say personality and persona, I don't want to go with that, his stated positions, I want to go with that, because I don't want to go after the person. I want to go after the ideas. We are like many other groups. We try really hard not to go after an individual because the individual is, contrary to some popular beliefs in some cases, a worthwhile thing. Every life is a worthwhile thing. Every perspective is. It's part of the reason why doing it this way. Even if the perspective is wrong, because at least, as the old adage goes, it can serve as an example of what to watch out for. So here's the piece that I want to wrap us all together with. What have we talked about so far that has made you more want to find out what the positions stated are so that you can better understand them and rip them apart for later? I guess is where I want to end up with. Now, I know I'm packing a lot into that, and I know that I'm doing the idea that we know that we've got the answer better than he does. And I will freely admit that I'm putting that bias in there, mainly because we do. But the point of it is we have to go from a standpoint of, if we didn't think that we had it right, we wouldn't end up talking about it in this angle. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's the contention of learning. And really, that's you have to start from, do I know what I'm talking about? Put it up against a wall and see where it goes. So I wanna kind of take us through each of these and see. If at this point the answer is I really don't know, that's cool too. So, you know, we'll work it from there. Heretic Woman, you've had the opportunity of seeing several times over and kind of dealing. What is there that you're now wanting to learn more about so that you can dismantle easier?
Well, I've actually been reading up on slick style apologetics, and well, actually, as Dave mentioned, Bill Robbins is quite good at debunking that kind of crap, and he's got a couple of really good episodes out on the Barroom Atheist where he details some of these stupid arguments and gives really good rebuttals. So I've actually been doing that. So I'm looking at more of the tactics that are employed, and because they tend to stick to a kind of a script and they tend to hit the same kind of talking points no matter what the core topic is. So for me, if I learn what their overall tactics are, then I feel better prepared to needle at what it is they're talking about. And I've gone toe-to-toe with one of Slick's followers, that Chad guy who likes to pop up on Atheist live shows wherever he can. And I've gone, actually, the very first time I ever called in on a show, long before I ever had one, and that guy showed up, and I think I went like a good hour with them on Forbidden Fruit, and that was fun. But they do the same crap all the time. So if you learn the script, and if you learn the structure, and you learn the sort of points of attack, then you can kind of kill their argument no matter what actual argument they're using, if that makes any sense. Because it's all sort of structured the same way.
Not make sense for me. I mean, that's it. Again, just kind of going back for the whole philosophy for the whole damn show is, you know, the why of why they talk the way that they do.
Yeah, Chris, absolutely.
Yeah, Chris, yeah. Where would you like to go on this one? I mean, is there anything that you do want to learn and deconstruct better for later for yourself?
For me, it's the Slick style apologetics and religious apologetics in general are a great exercise in understanding logic, logical fallacies, reasoning in general. looking at the way people attempt to sow confusion, shift the topic, shift the burden of proof, etc. And when you learn to see and recognize that, in one instance, in one area of life, it becomes a lot easier to do it in other areas. And after a while, there might be a news article, a political broadcast or statement, whatever. Whenever someone employs these tactics, it becomes glaringly obvious on there, and I think that's a really useful skill to have in life.
Fair enough. Tech, What would you like at this point?
Dude, I'm the comic relief. What the hell do you expect out of me?
Not any much more than that. That's fine.
My role model is Chun-Li from Pawn Stars. Give me a break, you know? I don't know what to work with in the first place.
Well,
actually, what I do is I like watching the debates by the professionals on both sides of the coin here, okay? Because Matt Slick, despite his arguments and the style that he uses, whether it's Gish Gallop, circular logic, or whatever the case might be, he is a professional at this, and I am not, okay? But then again, the other side of the coin has great professionals. You've got Bill Nye, the Science Guy, when he went up against Ken Ham. You've got Neil deGrasse Tyson with the with the conventions that he goes.
Let it go.
Yeah, with Neil deGrasse Tyson, when he does his conventions and he does his group gatherings and he allows the audience participation, especially when he interacts with the children, you know, because then it really gets down to really good questions. Like when his mind was blown when a little kid asked him, well, what happens when two black holes collide? And he's like, dude, what grade are you in? You need to be in a higher grade, you know, because you're a kid and you're thinking of these things, you know. So there's both sides of coins, and I love to watch them both because I actually do learn from them, and the things that I learn I end up passing on to my son so that when he grows older, he'll be able to go, just like, you know, George Carlin, he sounds smart, but he's full of shit, you know. So that way he knows when he's being given the runaround or when somebody's trying to use circular logic or Gish Gallop or whatever. Even if he can't identify the names, he can understand when somebody's trying to pull one over on him. And that's what's important to me. Not so much that me as a person is growing, but him. My legacy is growing. My legacy will have that knowledge to determine for himself, through his knowledge and his experience and the things that he's picked up off of me, things he's picked off of school and textbooks and scientists and everybody in general, that he's able to live his life happy and free and the way he wants it to be, as long as he's not harming other people in the process.
Good. And by the way, Kenny, no, this is Memorex. So you need to go ahead and just rewind the whole damn thing and it'll be fine. Just remember, be looking for the line, "The angels have the blue box." Be watching for that one. It'll be a great one right there.
By the way, Kenny, this is all done on Betamax, so you might have to adjust the little dial on the bottom. Oh, shit, I'm showing my age.
Yeah,
No. It's Laserdisc.
The tracking light.
Blu-ray. Hey, at least those are good quality, you know?
Talk about a short-lived one there.
Yep. You mean like Minidisc? Minidisc had a shorter lifespan than Laserdisc.
Yeah. Dang.
There's that.
Kenny's so, just lucky he's missing an N, otherwise I would have to start trying to kill him, I guess.
So, Bridge,
yeah.
Let me throw it on over for you. What kind of stuff has he done that at this point you want to learn more about without melting your brain so you can deconstruct it for others later?
I'm still wanting to learn how to argue against hermeneutics, because that seems to be a convenient ploy is, well, you know, if you call them out on some verses, well, these apply to these people in this time and not now. But it seems awfully convenient.
What's and that called I'm, again?
Hermeneutics.
Is that like based off of Pee Wee Herman?
No. No, basically, it's taking some verses in the Bible, because Matt Slick is a literalist. He's a fundy. But if you say, well, you're not supposed to do X, Y, and Z, then his argument is, well, that was for a different time and a different peoples, and that's why we no longer have to stick to these rules.
Right. That's all pretty
that's
much
cherry picking.
It's not cherry picking. It's chronological massage.
You know, it's like when they, you know, say that homosexuality is a sin because they start pulling out Leviticus and you say, well, how about shellfish and mixed fabrics? They're like, oh, well, that was for the, you know, Levitical tribes. That's not us. And they do it when it's convenient.
It's all about what the guy is saying.
Or slavery was okay back in the day because the people were not sophisticated and, you know, it was a different kind of slavery. I don't know how to argue against that very well.
A case of special pleading. And basically what you've got is people picking out what they want to do to reinforce their own personal opinions. I'm sure there's someone in there out there in the world that really hates shellfish and is adamant about the no shellfish thing from Leviticus.
Yeah, and it's me. And it's all because of
those
goddamn eyes.
Yeah. you know, and then such a person might, like, think, the homosexuality thing was just something for desert tribes back in the day.
Mm-hmm. It's an itinerary law or whatever, you know.
It's all about the guy making the rules. I mean, he can take the book and just pick what he wants from it. It's the guy talking.
That's exactly. That's
he wants to be obeyed.
Yeah.
It's I don't know what to do with that.
On that one, it's basically not a lot you can do that I'm aware of, apart from pointing out, you know, the hypocrisy of it and saying, look, you know, if you're just picking this one of things, either that or the slavery one's a classic one. Mm-hmm. In the Bible, I'm forgetting exactly which passages it is, but there is different rules for Jewish or Hebrew indentured servants and for non-Hebrew ones. So
there are also different rules for who you can sell meat to. And that goes along the same lines. So, yeah, Chris, you're absolutely right about that.
My question would be, okay, if that's a case for, you know, certain Jewish peoples or certain times, then how would they not know that the same thing applies to some of the New Testament teachings? One thing I found on their site was they were huge against women being in ministry. How do we know that hasn't changed?
Just on the rules difference, if you want a current day example on there, if you look at, is it the Sabbath guys? They basically were strict Jewish people who aren't allowed to work or do anything on the Sabbath. This includes lighting fires or whatever, which has been interpreted as like using electricity and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, and by the way, I actually have the Jew setting on my stove.
Yeah,
you what? And
I have the Jew setting on my stove.
Yes, yes. Believe it or not, there are like GE and several others actually do this, and there's even some guy who created a light switch to get around the whole thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Before we trip Godwin's law. That's kind of
if I can just finish the point, but there's been alluded to timers and devices for getting around this. There was also people who employ non-Jewish people to do all the stuff for them and then don't pay them to the next day or something, so the business transactions like when you pay them, and it's on there, so it's like different rules for one group and for another and whatever, and that's fairly clearly set out in the Bible. Other things, there are genuinely like some stuff that was only for certain purposes or for the Levite priests or whatever else, but most of the time you just get the people picking what they want. The other one is to look at and see what they actually know about the rules, because most atheists will probably know it better than they do.
Okay. Joseph, I'm going to go ahead and give you your opportunity also. And yeah, don't worry, Dave. I'm having you pull up the end of it all because I think that your experience and knowledge, you will have a better place that you don't grab somebody and squash them out. You'll know the pieces that we've missed. I'm trusting.
Fair enough. Okay. So
that depends on the amount of alcohol he's consumed at this point.
It's been.
He might be channeling Megafrota. It's
3 p.m.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Okay. Look at it this way. He's fast approaching Kage levels of alcohol. Some people will get that. Don't worry about it. Joey knows what I'm talking about. Joseph? Did you disappear on us?
I think he did.
He did. Okay. Joey?
He had a brain fart.
Did I already get you at this point? Or?
No, you haven't.
Good, perfect.
Yeah, there's no dents in his face.
Now I'm going to go off on a tangent here, and you're probably not going to get where I'm going with this until I start going there.
Wait, Joe, let me get my protractor.
But you'll see the road signs. This isn't a trick. I love the internet.
Don't do it.
In my consideration, no, not that. In my consideration, the internet is up there as one of the greatest human innovations since penicillin and duct tape. You can do a lot of things with duct tape. You know what? If you don't believe me, look on the internet. Mm-hmm. But that's the beautiful thing about the internet. Previously, children, students, scholars, your basic layman, their access to knowledge was, go to your local library, which did involve you having to go down to a library, look through the library, hope that they had the book you were looking for, make sure that it's the right book, yada, yada, yada. There was a lot of hassle involved. The internet takes out all of that. Because while not all the information you find on the internet may be relevant or, factual or whatever, you have an ample amount of information out there that is just free to grab that you can gather information from many different sources on many different things and make your own decisions, your own educated decisions on it. And this is why I'm very hopeful for the future. I try to be, at least, because, the kids today who have access to this wonderful invention that I did not when I was a child will be far, far smarter than I am, and I can only hope so. In fact, we already have living proof. But what I'm getting at is that it doesn't just educate kids and, everybody else on, facts and other matters, because this is where I'm going to have to break the PG, at least for a moment, but it's just on one word. It also educates them on bullshit. It educates them on how to detect bullshit. And to quote George Carlin, which I do oh so often because, let's face it, it's George. Most people seem indoctrinated to believe that bullshit only comes from certain sources, or certain places, certain sources. Advertising, politics, salesmen. Not true. Bullshit is everywhere. Bullshit is rampant. Parents are full of shit. Teachers are full of shit. Clergymen are full of shit. And law enforcement people are full of shit. Children have to be told there's bullshit coming down the road. They have to be warned that life is about detecting the bullshit and fending it off the best they can.
I couldn't have asked.
And I can find no better example than Mr. Slick's well put together and diligently filled out ode to bullshit. That is karm.org. There's my piece on it.
Well put. All right. Joseph, so let me give you your chance on this one. Is there any piece of his that you just want to learn more so you can just decimate it your own damn self?
Well, everybody had good points. I'd just like to tie it all together if I can, in a bit of a different context maybe. But, you know, all of us as humans, our primary goal in life is to adapt to our environment. And people like Matt Slick, they're like a needless middleman to that. We should be looking at our environment and by that judging what's good and bad for ourselves. But instead, people like Matt Slick, they segregate a portion of the population from everyone else, and they remove that ability to adapt, to decide for themselves what's right and what's wrong. And it's in using confusing language like he's using, like this is what to watch out for. Language like his that obfuscates reality, that gives different interpretations of it. Whereas you should be able to just look at reality for what it is. And like Joseph said, the web is great for that because you can really, now we can really see what's out there. Whereas before we relied on authority figures to have knowledge for us, to educate us. But now we can verify things for ourselves.
Good on you. All right, Dave, I'm giving you the last piece to grab us all with before I just go ahead and wrap us on this. And by the way, I'm sorry, Kenny, please forgive me. I haven't gotten to you just yet on this question that you've posed up because I need to finish off with the regular stuff. We'll get to your answer in a minute. I'm not trying to hold you. It's just a matter of that, you know, formatting, and we got a little bit of a time constraint. So, Dave, as far as you're concerned, is there a piece that you want to learn better? You've had a lot more experience, so I don't think that there really is. Or alternatively, is there a piece about all this that you think that we should have a better understanding to better protect ourselves, to mentally, to be able to understand this stuff, to be able to take it apart?
Okay. Three quick things.
Sure.
First, Beth, I know that you will listen to this if you're not already. And I appreciate your comment that I control myself better drunk than most people consider, or than most people control themselves sober. Secondly, Joseph.
How many times have I said that?
Is that with or without the, you know,
playing with the gun?
My gun is not even downstairs right now, so.
What about Joey has his right by his side? Yep, there it is.
Yeah.
Going on.
Shit, now I can't even remember what Joseph said.
That happens.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But the third thing that I wanted to say was something about what Joseph C. had said. Fuck, now I can't even remember that. Okay, well, now I've failed at the first thing. Fuck.
Well, about one third of everything I said was bullshit.
I'm not going to go there.
He's testing you.
To answer the prominent question, there is nothing that I feel that I need to learn from Matt Slick in particular. There is nothing that I feel that I need to learn from any apologist in particular. My focus is on getting to the root of the argument itself. You know, how is it that Christianity, or indeed any other form of religion, might be viable and workable? That's where my focus is, and that's why I focus on science, because we can argue semantics, we can argue language, we can argue philosophy all day, but the fact of the matter is, if religion doesn't match up to reality, then there is no religion to, then there is no reason to have religion in the mix at all. None.
That is a great piece, and you're reminding me of one of the favorite quotes that we've used on many an occasion, and right at the moment I'm trying to look at look up the graphic for it. I know I've got it. Let me just grab that really quickly and post that up because it is one of our best. Where the hell is it? There it is. That's the guy I was looking for. Let me just share this off really quickly. For those of you that are watching live, you'll see it. For those of you that are watching, or those of you that are listening via the podcast version, you will have heard this on many an occasion already. It comes from a close, warm, personal friend of the show, Richard Feynman, who said, "If it disagrees with experiment, it's wrong. In that simple statement is the key to science. It doesn't make a difference how beautiful your guess is. It doesn't make any difference how smart you are, who makes the guess, or what his name is. If it disagrees with experiment, it is wrong." This is the piece about apologetics that drives us up a wall and down the other side, because it has nothing to do with science. It has nothing to do with, as I had described it before, as a series of dominoes. Dominoes, when you set them up, clack one onto the other, onto the other. We've done it before. We've all played with these at some point or other. And if you miss because you don't have a piece of information that connects one to another, it stops, period, end of story. There's no two ways about that. We've seen it. We've made mistakes like that. We've accidentally knocked stuff over that has, you know, gone on into, you know, 10 minutes worth of work and pisses us off to no end. And then you have to deal with apologetics like what we've just dealt with Karm, with Matt Slick. I don't have a real problem with going through this stuff. Yeah, it's mind-numbing to read through it and try to understand it, because, like I said earlier, there's just enough right to make you think that it's going to be okay, and then you fall off of the cliff where it's just, wait, you were doing so good, and then you fell off, and you should know better. That's the rub right there. That's the piece right there that makes it so crazy. The point where you get to the "you should know better" point. And I think that, in and of itself, is the biggest part of this whole thing that we need to take away from it all. Being able to step back from an argument and look at it all and go, I'm getting upset about this part of this argument that I'm going through. Why? Because this should be readily apparent, because the person I'm talking to should already know this. It's like dealing with a kid. You hear it over and over and over and over again with a kid. Why didn't you do this? You should have known that. I've already explained this to you. How many times do I have to tell you? Chances are, somebody who has got a name for themselves in the apologetics field has heard it all before. And if they're still using the same damned answers, it's because they want to. It's not because they haven't learned. Just the opposite. It's because they can't. Because if they did, every time that they've been told, you're wrong and here's why, every time, they would have to acknowledge they were wrong, no matter how small. And as soon as they do that, like we've talked about before, everything else starts to unravel. And all you can do to prevent that is to double down all over again. We've talked about that before. And really, if you're going to go ahead and you're going to double down really hard, really, really hard, do us all a favor. Spend the $5. Go to Starbucks and get yourself a really tall coffee. By the way, if you're going to do that, make sure you get the one with the extra fluffy white head on the top. Yes, that one's all for you, Mr. Manning. I'll be more than happy to pay for your coffee for you. As always, everybody, thank you very much for hanging out with us tonight. We know full well that we are not the lowest tier by any stretch of the imagination, but we sure as hell ain't winning any awards. But we do still think that all of our perspectives are worthwhile, and thank you for taking the time to listen to us all.
Did we get Kenny yet?
We will before we get out of here.
Okay.
Since you opened up your mouth first, and you happen to be on this side of the list of people for me for tonight, Tech, thank you, of course, very kindly for your time, and I hope that you have yourself a good weekend, or what's left of it at this point.
Yeah, so far, it's been pretty decent. Thanks for having me on the show, Dave. Thanks for dropping by. It's fun to have you on here, man.
Thanks.
It's fun to riff off of you too. You make it so easy.
Joey, thank you very kindly for your time and, of course, for your assistance this past weekend. I greatly appreciate it, brother.
No problem. My pleasure. Bear claws. That will be explained later.
I know what those are.
No, you'll understand later.
He went to Canada and got him donuts.
No, not quite.
No, I'll explain it as a very, very last item.
Made some real bear
I have the right to bear claws and bear arms, but anyway, barring the idea of a whole bear in here, it's warm, and I'm going to go lay down for a little bit, and then I'm going to get on the road. I'll be gone for a while, but I'll be back next week. So, yeah, been fun. I'll see you all later.
Thanks, man.
Joseph, thank you very kindly. Have yourself a good morning over there.
And you too, sir. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. Heretic Woman, thank you very kindly for your time, of course, and I know you're going to be taking the time to go ahead and plug everything.
Who, me? So, of course, there's Beyond the Trailer Park, Mondays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and this week is really exciting because we're going to be having David Fitzgerald on the show to talk about all things fake Jesus. Of course, My Secular Savior at mysecularsavior.com, and the new show, which is Atheist Apocalypse, the podcast. You can find us at the page on YouTube, Atheist Apocalypse for Those Left Behind. We will be launching our first episode early-ish next month. It is in post-production, and I can say it's bloody awesome. Even though I'm in it, it's still bloody awesome. So looking forward to that. And I think that's about yes. And, of course, August 22nd in Kitchener, the non-conference for non-believers. Get your butt over here to Kitchener. It's the headlining Lawrence Krauss and lots of really good speakers. So get here to Kitchener if you can to the non-conference on August 22nd. And I think that's everything.
Funny enough, that's closing on TT's birthday. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see about that. Anyway.
Oh, dude, seriously.
We've got go-karts in her future, but we'll see about that. Chris, thank you very kindly. Have yourself a good morning. And of course, as always, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me again, Chujin. Been a pleasure to be here. And to Kenny in the Q&A, it wasn't something that we're planning to cover this show, but if you hit me up on Facebook, I may be able to help out with that or put you in touch with the other ghosts.
Yeah, by the way, what does it say on your screen tag there? The bottom edge of it is all caught up.
Oh, this is a response to Foda's. He's not Matt Fleck, he's a very naughty boy.
It's like, you can keep your naughty boy, I'll take the zoo.
Monty Python reference for the win.
And Bridget, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it, hon. You have yourself a good morning.
You too.
And by the way, I hope that you guys are still enjoying having the first Church of Cannabis out there still doing their thing, yay?
Yeah.
That's something that we're planning on talking about sometime in the fairly near future. I gotta get a couple of things arranged.
You can tell she's in Mass right now.
Bill Levine is my hero.
Okay. And last, certainly not least, by any stretch of the imagination, I will call you Mr. Foda for just a couple of moments because, A, truly thank you. I really do respect you for taking the time out. I mean, this is wonderful. I grandly, grandly appreciate it. And plug all of the stuff. And thank you, man. Really, really thank you.
You know what? I really appreciate that. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time plugging. I've got several projects in the works. The biggest thing that I have going on right now is prepping for not a very lengthy, but a very meaty lecture that's going to happen here in Charlotte in early September. But if anybody wants to find me, they can certainly find me at facebook.com/dave.foda. I answer all private messages, regardless of where they come from. And anybody can send me a friend request. Anybody can comment on my page. That's just who I am. So,
yep.
And I appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
No worries at all, man. It's like I said, the big strength of having this show is having as many perspectives as I can squeeze in as possible, because everybody sees something a little bit different from what I do, and that's arguably the strength of the whole damn thing, because somebody sees something different, bring it to your attention. Oh, wow, that's really cool. I like being able to do that.
It's about communication.
Hell yes. Exactly.
And if you need to squeeze stuff in, just ask Heretic Woman. She's used to plugging things.
I'm not just touching that. I'm not touching that.
She's actually cleaned up her screen a lot. So,
Okay.
Now, before we get done, at the moment, I do not have an expectation for a topic for next week's show. I will get to that as soon as I can. My summer is going to be a little bit different. I'll see about getting information out on a Tuesday instead of more like a Thursday, just because of the timing that I'm going to have available to me. Kenny. As Kenny was asking, is there anyone here that can tell me something about Islam? I've got a suggestion from see about bringing you in for an after show for a little bit. I'm running a little bit low on fuel myself, so I'm gonna see about doing that for you. If you've got time enough to do that, we'll bring you in. We'll invite you in, so that won't be a problem. So just hold off a little bit. Grab a pen and paper, or fire up Notepad or whatever is the closest thing. If you've got a podcast catcher, you know, have that nearby so that you can get a couple of ideas from here, and we'll pull you in real quick. Otherwise, everybody else who's been listening, of course, on the podcast feed or here on the video series, first off, of course, thank you so very much for your time. We will be looking forward to seeing you guys, of course, next week. If you would like to send information over to us, you can send it on Twitter at HolyCrapTV, or if you can send it over to me at ShujinTribble. If you want to swing on over to the website and pick up the podcast feed and send over some information, get all the links, you can go over to HolyCrapTheVlogcast.com. And you can contact us all from over there. Email, G+, Facebook, Twitter, everything is all over there. I will be showing up in a couple of episodes of the Imaginary Friend Show Dote Comb podcast because Jake was slumming really hard and decided he was going to ask me to be on again, which I apparently, from what I understand, this may very likely be the last week because kind of tried to make a little bit of a coup with Nick. It didn't quite work. He's still got control over it all, so we'll see if he ever gets me in again. It's probably going to involve a lot of alcohol, promised.
I don't think so. Did Roy try to take the show over?
No, just me.
Right.
Just me. But in any case, with any luck, we will catch most of you, if not all of you, again for the next show. In the meantime, of course, as always...
Gotta catch them all.
Of course, as always, everybody, just before we go, if you have not yet found out about the news feed from 2015 for AnthroCon on the NPR news feed, check that out sometime in the near future. If you're listening from 3025, NPR used to be a news organization way back when, before they took over the rest of everything else, but we'll talk about that another time for you guys. Until the next time, as always, thank you all for hanging out with us. We'll see you again soon. And of course, to my lady, Matane Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. As always, everybody, I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. And until the next time we get together, everyone, good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.